Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, to have another opportunity to worship the living Lord and Savior Jesus together. If you have your Bibles with you today, you can open them up to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Last week, we looked in Isaiah chapter 6, and we looked at the call of Isaiah. But this week, as we look back, we're going to look kind of at the situation that Isaiah was in as he was writing. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today and we thank you. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to be here in your house today, gathered as your people, Father. And Lord, we pray that as we take this time, that you truly be honored and glorified together. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, as we talked about last week, Isaiah experienced his call in the year that King Uzziah died. And Uzziah had been the king in Judah for 52 years. There had been at least two generations born that knew no other leadership other than Uzziah. And a third generation that Uzziah had pretty much been there all of their lives. And under his reign, Judah had done well, but they were experiencing something that God had warned them about in the book of Deuteronomy. They were experiencing something that he had warned them about as they came into the promised land. You see, when they came into the promised land, God warned them to be careful when you move into a land with cities and houses you did not build, with vineyards you did not plant. In other words, when you move into a situation where everything is really good, lest you forget God. Lest you forget God. You see, because here's the tendency that human nature gives us. Human nature brings us to a point without God where we get to, if things are going really well. How many of you like it when things are going really well? I think we all do. But we tend to have a problem when things get to going really well. We kind of get to a point that we forget about God. We forget that the source of all the good and everything that's happening to us is Him. And we kind of get to a point we relax and say, I got this. Man, I am doing good. And then comes the fall. We see a cycle like that seven times in the book of Judges, where that the people would turn away from God, and as they turned away from God, they would come to a point where they cried out to God, and God would hear them and draw them back to Himself and deliver them from an enemy. And then, after things got really good for a while, then they'd forget about God. And they'd get to a point where they were at the bottom, and they'd cry out to God. And in reality, there may be some of you here in church today that you could see that cycle in your own life from time to time. You say, wait a minute, I have been here before. This seems familiar. And what God does during those times is He begins to set aside circumstances to work in our life, not to punish us, although ultimately we will face God's judgment if we continue in those directions, but to get us to turn around, to get us to come back to Him. And so the title of today's message is When God Says Let's Talk. You know, I want you to understand, when God says let's talk, He's not coming to you, just like I've said many times. He's not coming to ask a question so He can get information about the situation, because He already knows everything about the situation. But what He's doing is He's saying, let me help you to come to a point of understanding where you are right now. And that's kind of what happens in this first chapter of Isaiah. We're going to start in verse 18, but prior to verse 18, God's Word is telling about the sinful condition that Judah has come into. about how that they have ceased to follow him, how that there's been oppression. Basically, it's a situation where most folks have become pretty self-centered in what they're doing. And you know, that's another thing that happens when things go to getting really good. We kind of get focused inward on ourselves, because again, we begin to think we're the source of all that goodness. All that goodness is happening to me because I've done good. Don't fool yourself. We live every day, no matter how bad or how good, by the grace of God. And so let's look at what God has to say, starting in verse 18 and going through verse 20. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And so I want you to understand, to get this picture here, God saying, come, let us reason together, or let's talk about things. I want to tell you, from God's perspective, that's a gracious offer. Whenever we begin to think about the fact that they had just utterly turned away from God, they were doing their own thing, and we can get pretty quick to look at what they're doing and what Scripture talks about here and say, man, they're terrible folks. But if we look at it realistically, we've been in the same place. You may be in the same place right now, where that you've made all of your plans, you've got everything lined out, you know that you've got your picture. Chris, where are you at? Back here in the back. I'm going to pick on Chris. Now, Chris, I'm not saying that, but listen, this man already has a 2022 calendar. If you know Chris, you know I'm not joking. He's got it lined out. But you know, we put down those things, and Chris helps us as a staff to be able to make those plans and be able to keep the calendar straight. We're thankful for that. But I'll guarantee you, if we did have that 2022 calendar filled out right now, between now and then, we'd have to make changes, because everything wouldn't work out exactly the way that we plan it. It just doesn't go that way. And I believe that there were probably people here who had their plans, but as they had their plans, God said, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. James talks about it in the New Testament set when he talks about a man who says, come and we'll spend a year here and we'll buy and sell and we'll do this. And he says, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Now, things had been good for 52 years. You know, we could see a picture of that in the United States. When the stock market crashed in 1928, everybody just believed the stock market, it had been a place to make money. They believed it would keep going up and up and up and up. And overnight it crashed, and people who had been wealthy all of a sudden were paupers, because they had made plans, but they didn't realize the reality of how quickly plans can change. But God here is giving them an opportunity to make a course correction. You see, what God really wants, God desires to communicate with us. God desires to communicate with us. This is one of those places in Scripture where, through the prophet Isaiah, God takes on that character and he's speaking directly to us. He says, come, let us reason together. But when we look at the Scripture, we need to understand that from Genesis to Revelation, it is God's Word that He has written to be able to communicate with us. But it's not just a manual, it's not just a piece of information that we might read like we do the instructions when we've tried to put it together, and all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, this doesn't fit that way. Something's wrong here. But you know, many times that is how it goes with our life when we try to do it without God. We've laid the Bible aside and we've tried to work it out and we've tried to get it right. And all of a sudden we come to a point where we realize, this wasn't how I thought this would be. This isn't what I had planned on. But in those circumstances, God is waiting. He's waiting to meet us. He wants to talk with us. As He desires to communicate with us, He wants us to know, first of all, about His true nature and His desire toward us. As He comes to talk to them through the prophet Isaiah here, He says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Here's the first thing that causes us sometimes to not want to communicate with God. He wants to meet us where we are. And we don't really want Him to find us where we are. Here's a picture that can kind of help you with that. Have you ever had somebody knock on the door at the house, but the house was an absolute wreck? You didn't know company was coming. You really didn't want company to come. And you met them at the door, and you just cracked the door open just a little bit because you really didn't even want them to see inside exactly what it looked like. Or maybe you even opened the door and you did that kind of scoot out and pull a door or two behind you so that you could get that thing closed up. I won't tell you. I've been there. Have you been there? Yep, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes even when we've gone out witnessing to somebody and we've done some knocking on doors at times, you'll have somebody that they realize what you're there for, and it may not be that the house is a mess. They don't want to let you in. I remember in Starkville, there was a group of three of us knocking on doors one day. And we came to the door, and this guy came out, and he quickly came out, pulled the door to it, and he just pretty much told us he didn't want us there. But the funniest thing happened then. When he pulled the door to, he locked himself out of his own house. And he wound up talking with us because all of a sudden he was in a position of needing help to get back in the house. You know what I thought to myself then as that opportunity and that conversation turned a lot more friendly? Sick him, Jesus. You know, we have a way of saying, "I'm not really ready for this conversation," but God has a way of saying, "Now come on, open up the door." And the fact of the matter is, God wanted to communicate with His people there. As He comes to this place, He wanted to communicate with them. He wanted to meet them where they are. Remember, I've said God never asked for information's sake when He asked a question. Well, God doesn't really need you to open up any door for Him to see what the situation is already. He's kind of like Superman. You know, Superman has that X-ray vision. God can already see inside there. He knows what you've got behind the door. He knows what's going on behind the curtain. He knows what's happening behind the mask. And He's saying, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet." You see, God has an honest view of where we are. At any given point and any given time, God knows exactly where we are. You may be here today, and in coming here, what you've done is you've kind of kept the mask up. I'm doing my thing for God. I'm going to get out and I'm going to see everybody. I'm going to keep acting like everything is just fine. But the reality is that's not where things are at all. We're coming up on the holidays. Man, there's going to be gatherings and different things that happen. There's going to be pictures. And I want to tell you, I believe with all of my heart as we do that, that man, people are going to share, we're going to share pictures of what goes on with our family. But I'm convinced today that social media causes us to even work harder to keep up that false picture of where we're at and how things really are. I mean, let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen somebody take a picture or make a post, and as soon as you saw it, you kind of did a double take and you said, "Who's that?" Because you know them real well? You ever done that? Are you quiet because it's kind of personal? And maybe you've done that. You know, that you've been the one putting up the picture. You've been the one that has been writing the post and putting up memes. And man, we got a meme for everything today. I mean, you can come up with a meme. I think sometimes some people seem to take authority in memes just like they were scripture themselves. Can I tell you, you can put up a lot of good sounding memes and quotes that really, when you look at them, they aren't biblical, or when you look at them, they don't really reflect reality, but they sound good. They sound great. But God says, let's talk. Let's talk about this. And He's got an honest view of where we are. But here's why He wants to talk. You see, God desires to transform us. God desires to transform our lives and to change us. But for that transformation to take place, we've got to first come to a point that we're willing to sit down with Him and have an honest conversation. An honest conversation has to be had. You know what? Sometimes honest conversations are not pleasant. They're not really what we want to hear. You ever been there? When somebody sat down with you, maybe you've been on either side of it. You've been the one somebody had to sit down with to have the conversation, and maybe it's come to a point you've been the one that had to sit down with somebody and have the conversation. And truth be known, as you sit down at the table, you might be able to put up a pretty good front and keep a pretty good face about things. But inside, you're just waiting. I mean, the fact is, you're waiting. You're ready for this conversation to be open. If the door cracked and somebody sneezed, you'd be at it so quick. But it doesn't open, and the conversation starts. And maybe your first reaction to the conversation is you get angry. You know, sometimes when we get confronted about something, and it's true, that's one of the responses we have. We get angry. Maybe when you get confronted in a conversation, the first thing you begin to do is begin to think about a way to make an excuse. And I mean, maybe not even an excuse to God, but just an excuse to yourself where you can feel all right about where you're at and what you're doing. You know, if somebody else was in my situation, what would you do? Well, when God sits down with you for one of these conversations, we're not talking about anybody else. But by the way, God does know what somebody else would do in that circumstance already. So that's not somewhere you want to go. Peter tried that with John after Jesus had been resurrected. They were walking along and they were talking. And Peter looked back at John and said, "What about him?" And Jesus pretty much told Peter, "Listen, you do what I told you to do. I'll worry about John." And so when God wants to have this kind of conversation with you, He's not wanting to talk to you about somebody else. It's not like when a couple comes in for marriage counseling and what one or the other wants to do is really get an opportunity to tell somebody on the other one just how bad they are so they can feel justified in the way they act in the relationship. You ever seen that? I mean, somebody comes in, Mark, you've seen it. Chris, you've seen it. They come in and they want to sit down and talk with you about helping their marriage, but what they really do when they sit down with you, the first thing is they want to tell you just how bad their spouse is. They're not looking at first to look at anything with themselves. It's one of the things Re-Engage teaches, one of the first fundamentals. Get inside the hula hoop. You can only deal with somebody inside the hula hoop. I've actually remember being in one of the open groups where somebody asked, can I step outside the hula hoop? Nope, sorry. It doesn't work that way. When God has this kind of conversation, He says, come, let us reason together. He's not going to be there so you can tell Him how bad everybody else is, because He's got an honest assessment of their situation too. He doesn't need your help to figure out where they're at. But here's the great thing. God desires to transform us. He desires to transform us, and that's why the conversation has to stay focused on us and Him. Because you're the only one God's going to hold you accountable for in the end. We talk about being a disciple. We say that a disciple is one who has decided to follow Jesus and who is being transformed by Jesus. And that transformation takes place when you begin to let God deal with you honestly. And you let Him in to meet you exactly where you are. So look at what He's offering. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. See, that's a transformation. And I want to tell you, that's a transformation that man cannot make. He said, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Got any beauticians out here? Few, I know. You ever seen somebody that has white hair and they try to change the color of it and then try to change it back? Doesn't work out so well. Usually just has to kind of grow out over time. But God says, if you'll come to me, He says, though your sins are as scarlet, He says, I'll make them white as wool. He's making us an offer in the conversation. Now, He's not sugarcoating where we're at. He's saying, I know where your sins are. I know what your issues are. I know where you're at. But He says, if you'll sit down and get honest with me, let me tell you what I can do. I can change you. But see, the problem is often what we want God to do is we want God to change our circumstances, but what God wants to change first is us, because it's probably something related to the way we're doing things that has brought us to the circumstances that we're finding ourselves in. The reason here that God is saying to them, let us reason together, is because in 52 years of having a prosperous time, they've wandered off, and so God's saying, hey, let's come back. Let's come back. But then He tells us how the transformation takes place. He said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, and though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. Here's the first part of that. God's saying, let's have a conversation, and you've got to decide whether you're willing to be part of that conversation. That's the first step. You see, it's kind of like trying to reconcile with somebody. Because whether you realize it or not, that's the position the Bible says we're in with God before we come to Him through Jesus Christ. It says we were enemies with God. You can have somebody that you're at odds with, and you can go and say, let's sit down and let's talk. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to want to sit down and talk with you, does it? It doesn't mean that they're going to sit down and talk with you, even though there may be a very real desire on your side to be able to have that conversation, and a very real openness to being willing to have that conversation. I can tell you the desire's there on God's side. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter how much you've messed up, God's saying, let's talk. Let's sit down, let's reason together about this. But the first decision you've got to make is, am I willing to open the door and begin the conversation? Now, you're here this morning. That could mean that you're ready to start the conversation. But it also could mean that you're just putting up a front and trying to hide out. See, the thing is, I as a man can't look and tell which one of those is the case. Sometimes we're really good at putting on a mask. We're really good at putting things up so that they look right. But right now, you and God know where you're at. If you're sitting here and you're somebody that God's saying, look, we really need to talk. And you've got a decision to make right now. Are you willing to start the conversation? And in starting this conversation, the first part of it, are you willing to listen? Not are you willing to talk? Are you willing to honestly listen to God about where you're at and what's going on? The second thing, are you willing to be obedient? If you are willing and obedient. You see, because when God draws us to Himself, when God brings us into conversation, He's wanting to give us direction, not so that we can consider it, but so that we can act upon it. It's kind of like this. I remember being in the National Guard, and you know, I was a E3, PFC, not far from the very bottom. But I worked in a headquarters battalion company, so I spent most of my time around officers and people that had considerably higher rank than I had. We had doctors, they were majors and colonels. But every unit has got one particular sergeant. It's the top sergeant or the first sergeant. And as far as the enlisted guys are going, he is top dog. If you got anything less than some kind of officer's insignia, and even if you've got some of those first and second lieutenant insignias, you do real well to listen to the top sergeant when he starts talking. We had been down in at Camp Beauregard, Louisiana. Anybody know where that's at? Camp Beauregard, Louisiana, on drills. Been one of those memorable weekends, operating in bivouac, out in the tents under blackout conditions. And I was on guard duty outside of the headquarters tent. And all of a sudden, it was like there was a fire inside, even under total blackout conditions. The lights came on inside that tent, and everybody started out like there was a fire. One of those young lieutenants thought he had a tree root under his desk, and he had been hammering at it with a shovel vigorously, and somebody went over and took a look and told him it was an unexploded ordnance. The area we were bivouacking in at one time had been an artillery range. It was the top sergeant that told him. Even though he outranked him, when the top sergeant said move, guess what happened? He moved. But see, at the end of that maneuver, we were getting ready to come back home, and I was going to get to ride with the medical unit with the colonel. You know what that meant? We were going to leave early, and we were going to get out, and we were going to get home. You know what? Working with all those folks with higher rank at times had its benefits. But top sergeant came to me and he said, you know, Sergeant Danvers here, we need two people in every vehicle, and Danvers is down. He doesn't have a man to be in the vehicle with him. Would you like to ride with Sergeant Danvers? Or would you like me to order you to ride with Sergeant Danvers? I said, no, Top, I'll be glad. I'd love to ride with Sergeant Danvers. I'd love to ride home with him, even though he's going to be in the last vehicle leaving. You see, the situation was there. I recognized his rank, and because of his rank, I knew his asking was really a polite formality. He didn't need to ask me anything. The simple fact of the matter is, if he said, Painter, you get in that vehicle, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get in that vehicle. It don't matter if it's first, if it's left, or if it's going the other direction. That's going to be where I'm going. But you see how God approaches us in this situation? Come now. Let us reason to God. Reason together. And I tell you, he's got a higher rank than the top sergeant. Got a higher rank than the commanding general. But he's approaching us in a way where he says, come on, let's sit down. He didn't have to do that. All he's got to do is say, here. And we'd be there. But he's extending an invitation. And he's saying that though we're in this awful situation, we can be transformed, we can be cleaned up, we can be forgiven. But the way that happens is through willingness and obedience. Couple those two things together. When the top sergeant asked me about taking that ride, what he was looking for in the first response was, am I willing? He had the authority to make me do what I did not want to do. But what he was saying was, will you? And to be honest, I really was willing. Me and the other sergeant were good friends too. Knew that it was going to be fun, even though I wouldn't be the first one home. God extends that invitation. And he says, are you willing to come to me? Are you willing to have an honest conversation about where you are? Are you willing to let me change you? And what it's going to take for that is for you to start listening to me and become obedient. Do you know that that's really how the Christmas story begins? God sent his angel and he spoke to a young girl. He spoke to Mary. Young woman that was betrothed or engaged. And he told her that she was going to have a child. And she lived in a culture where that having a child outside of wedlock was going to really make her not welcome in a lot of circumstances. It was going to impact her life greatly. Not that having a child, even in the best of circumstances, doesn't impact your life greatly. But in the end, Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word. And it changed the course of her life so that over 2,000 years later, we know Mary's story. But then there was a young man, Joseph. He was engaged to Mary. Now, Joseph knew that there had not been any relations between them where that there should have been a child being born. And yet God came to him and said, she's going to have a child. And he, as he had heard about it before the Lord sent his messenger to him, he was wondering, am I going to divorce her or am I going to stay? And he was, the Bible says he loved her and he didn't want to publicly humiliate her. So he was thinking about how to gracefully as he could, get out of the situation. But when God said, take Mary, Joseph's answer was he got up and he went and he continued on and he married her. And it changed his life so that over 2,000 years later, we know who Joseph was. I can't promise you that being willing and obedient to come to Jesus will make somebody know who you are here on this earth 2,000 years later. But I can promise you that it'll get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, where it'll be recorded eternally. And you can make an impact in the lives of those around you. If you'll remember last week, that's what happened with Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the vision of God and confessed his sin and got honest with God, the Bible says that the angel picked up a coal from the fires and went and touched it to his lips because he had confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. And the angel said, you're cleansed. And once he was cleansed, he began to hear God speak. When he heard God speak, he heard God saying, who shall I send? And his response was, send me, I'll go. And so we see him being used by God to record the passage that we read today. And even though this is before chapter 6, chapter 6 happened before this in the order of writing. And the reason God is using Isaiah and these years later, we're looking at God's Word through him today, is because he said, yes, I'm willing to have the conversation, Lord. Yes, I'm willing to be obedient. Do you know what? That's the one gift you can give God that he really desires during this holiday season. The gift of yourself. Let him meet you where you are. Let him have an ominous conversation with you. And pick up and say, yes, Lord. Not yes, Lord, if. Not yes, Lord, later. Yes, Lord. Here now. Today. That's what God really wants from you. No matter who you are. You see, it's not about how much money you have. It's not about what your family name is. It's not about all of that, because in truth, you don't have anything to offer that God didn't give you first. But what he says is, I want you to recognize me and give yourself back to me. And I'll change your life. I'll transform you. As we have our time of invitation, I want to invite you today to simply answer for yourself this question. God, are you trying to talk to me and I've not been listening? And if you can, honestly today, say, Lord, I want to have the conversation, then I want to encourage you to come this morning and do business with him here. If you need to talk with me or you need to talk with Chris, we'll be here at the altars to pray with you. But simply this morning, are you willing to surrender? to say, Lord, let's talk. He's waiting. You don't have to go anywhere other than where you are. He'll meet you right where you are. Would you please stand? Father, we just come to you today, and we thank you that we have the privilege to be called your children. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to die on the cross in our place. And we thank you that in spite of our sinfulness, our stubbornness, that you still are a God who reaches out to us and seeks us to draw us near to you. And Father, I pray today, give people the freedom to draw near. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am waiting not to rid myself of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, just as I am, you are my home. Just as I am, you just as I am, you really seem, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because you promise.
Y'all know I've been an ICU nurse for 20 plus years. Sometimes we get patients in with heart rates 20s, 30s. Need a pacemaker. Next time that happens, I'm going to invite them to Emmanuel Baptist, and I'm going to tell them, you're in charge of the reading. Heart rate 140, cured, no pacemaker needed. Today's reading is coming out of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with the complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I come to you, and I just pray first and foremost, dear Lord. Thank you for the grace that you've given each and every one of us. And I pray for peace and comfort for those who are hurting, dear Lord. And as your word says, dear Lord, the pain that we're feeling today is nothing compared to the joy that's to come. And dear Lord, as we take in these tithes and offerings, dear Lord, I just ask for the wisdom as we dispense them. And may thy will be done. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the mute will speak, the praises of your baby boy was Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the grave.